Thank you, sir.
Welcome, sir.
This morning, we ought to be thankful to God once again. We ought to praise His name, and we ought to be happy to do it.
Amen.
Because God has left us here. God has seen fit that we might have one more opportunity to serve Him in spirit and in truth.
Right,
and we ought to be everlastingly grateful and thankful for that opportunity that we have been given. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew at verses number 14 and verse number 15. And we're going to take our message this morning from forgiveness. Forgiveness. Let us go for a moment to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us once again. Thank you for giving us this part of this day that we have taken the time out to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray and ask You, Father, to give us this entire day that we may praise Your name, O Lord. We thank You for everything that You have done for us. We thank You for things that You shall do for us, and we thank You for things that You are currently doing for us. We thank You this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those who are here in attendance this morning to hear the Word of God and to praise Your name again. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this local congregation here. Pray for them and their families, and we pray for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. We thank You this morning, Father, for them and their families as well. We pray for the church this morning, O Lord, the members as a whole, that we may, as members of the body of Christ, come together to do the right things and to treat each other with dignity and to praise Your name again, O Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, that You have allowed us to be here in this for this opportunity. This morning, O Heavenly Father, we are praying for those who are sick and unable to be with us. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that if it be Thy will, that You would give them the strength that they may be able to come back again at the next appointed time or whenever You see fit, O Lord. We thank You for this morning for those families who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We pray that their strength may be resolved and their issues may come to pass, O Lord. Thanking You this morning, Father, because You have allowed those of us who are here once again to be here. We pray for those who may be on their way this morning, O Lord, that if it be Thy will, that You would give them a safety to get here. And we pray for those who might be traveling this day, that they would have safety to their destinations, both here, from here and to there, and from there back to here, O Lord, or whatever the case may be. Thanking You right now, Heavenly Father, for the goodness and the graciousness that You have given us by allowing us to get up this morning. We pray and thank You for food, shelter, and clothing. We pray and thank You, O Heavenly Father, that the church is here, standing willing and able and ready to meet the call of what thus saith the Lord. Thank You this morning, Father, for everything, and it is in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray and ask all of these and many more blessings. Let us all say, Amen. This morning, from the subject of forgiveness, it's some subject matter that many don't like to talk about. It is at best a difficult and all too often a delicate matter. So much so that it is the root of far too many other problems. The matter at hand is that of forgiveness. Forgiveness gets us into family matters, business matters, and even church matters. It is a worldwide problem. As Christians, our Savior, through His Word, teaches on forgiveness. And one of the best examples the world has ever known may be found in the words in red recorded in today's text of Matthew chapter 6. And verses 14 and 15. Let us go to that text. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and verse number 15. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What that's saying is that we've got to learn to be more forgiving. We've got to learn to forgive one another for no matter what it is. We've got to learn to forgive. So this morning, as we go into our subject, I want to just tell you a couple of things this morning. We must learn to forgive because we are going to be hurt in this life. How do we know this? We know this by the fact that Jesus spoke of it in the text. Had it not been important for us, perhaps it would not even have been mentioned at all. The text gives us to know that in order to be forgiven, we must forgive others. Sometimes those of us whom we consider the closest are the source of the greatest hurt in our lives. Jesus was betrayed by one of his own. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 4, the Bible says, Judas as the one who also betrayed him. Judas was numbered in the 12 apostles. And what better company can one consider to be numbered in? But even with all of that, as the text says, he was the one who also betrayed Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 and verse number 15 shines a little more light on the subject. Money that was given to Judas was 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. 30 pieces of silver was the price of our Savior's life. 30 pieces of silver was what Judas traded to betray the life of Jesus Christ. We betray one another for much less today. We betray one another for nothing sometimes today. We keep the Spirit of the Lord in our heart. If we keep the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts, it's not easy. If we keep the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts, it's easy to forgive one another when they have betrayed us. Now, who betrays whom? Well, husbands betray their wives. Wives betray their husbands. Children betray their parents. Yes, even church members betray other church members. We lie to one another. We lie about and to one another. We cheat on one another. And we most assuredly gossip about one another. And we are warned in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 7. Woe to the world because of things that cause people to sin. Offenses come, but woe to the man by whom these offenses come. We can't pay each other back by trying to get back. Give the offender over to God. That old-fashioned way that many of us like to use from time to time. You harm my cat, I'll kill your dog. Just doesn't work. We've got to learn to forgive. And there are even some who go as far as to say that God forgives, but I don't. We've got to learn to ask God to give us the strength to forgive one another. Forgiveness. Women, you can't pay your husband back for his misstep by misstepping yourself. It only leads to more sin and more heartaches. We've got to remember the text in verse number 14 where it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. When we forgive, God will forgive us. We've got to learn to accept the fact that in this life, when hurt comes, we don't give hurt for hurt. We've got to learn to accept the fact that we must learn to forgive. We've got to forgive because forgiving is what the Bible teaches us to do. When you think about it, church, we've got to forgive men so that God may forgive us. When we think about the reality of forgiveness, in the text today, when we look at that text all over again, when we keep going back to our text and we see the same thing over and over again, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Jesus does not tell us to think about whether I might want to forgive someone or not. It just tells us we should forgive a person. It is outright stated that we must forgive if we want to be forgiven by God. We must forgive one another. So the question may come up. So just tell me, preacher, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness means the need for us to let things go. And some say they believe in Jesus, but they yet refuse to understand that in order to be like Jesus, we must follow Jesus. And forgiveness is what Jesus is all about. Do you remember in Ephesians chapter 1? around verse number 7 where the Bible says we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the richness of His grace. And then in Colossians 1:14, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness means no more holding on to an age-old grudge. If it's me, I need to forgive you if I've offended you. If it's you, you need to forgive me if you've offended me. I need to forgive you. I mean, if I've offended you, and you need to forgive me if you've offended me, and vice versa. Life does not stop because one does not forgive. But if one's life ends before forgiveness, according to the text, God will not forgive you. Look at verse 15 of the text. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a powerful statement right there. Because in order for you to be forgiven, you have to forgive also. So what would it take for you to forgive someone of a trespass against you? What would it take if you just reached out to someone and said, I forgive you? What would it take to make you want to come to the realization that forgiveness is what we all must do? So somebody may say, well, this is a promise to those who follow God. But the difference between a commandment and a promise is that in order to receive a promise, we must first follow the commandments. Notice in John chapter 13 and 34 where Jesus said, a new commandment I give that you love one another as I have loved you. And verse number 35 says that by this all men will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. If you love me, you ought to forgive me. And if I love you, I ought to forgive you. Therefore, in order that we may receive the promise of forgiveness, we must forgive. And I know what some like to say. I've never done anything wrong. So I don't need to worry about forgiveness. But we all need forgiveness, and we are all in need of forgiving somebody somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the line, you have wronged somebody, whether you knew it or not, inadvertently or advertently, you may have wronged someone. But nevertheless, we've got to remember that we must learn to forgive. We must not consider ourselves to ever not need forgiveness. But somewhere in this life, you're going to need some forgiveness. And sometimes it's from the people you least think that you need this forgiveness. Sometimes, especially when it's not an easy task being married. It's not an easy task living with someone day in and day out, night in and night out, year after year, and not making one another mad. And if anybody said, well, me and my wife never had an argument, they're lying. You don't get along if you don't have something to flare up sometime. And sometimes you may say something that causes heartache and grief to one another. And so you need to forgive so that you can be forgiven. Forgiving is sometimes easy for a person to think in his mind, but it's not as easy to forgive from his lips. Sometimes we say that, well, if I forgive them, they'll probably do it again. But that's not the way you have to look at it. Look at the text again. It says, "If you," verse 15, "if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, I don't read anywhere in that text there, of verse number 15 of Matthew chapter 6, where it says you're supposed to try to analyze what they're going to do next. You're supposed to try to figure out, if I forgive them this time, will they do it again? That's not what the text says. The text says, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then when we go back up to verse 14, it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, I know what somebody may be saying in his or her mind. It's good that I can be forgiven by God, but there's a catch to that. There's something you must do. You must forgive in order to be forgiven by God. And sometimes the hardest thing for people to say is, I'm sorry. You know, some folk don't, they'll tell you, they'll go around, well, I didn't mean to do it. I shouldn't have done it. I probably won't do it again. But they won't say, I'm sorry, and they won't ask for forgiveness. But you have to learn to forgive them anyhow. Forgiveness won't fix everything. Forgiveness will not fix everything. Once again, that text lets us to know just what our instructions are, what we can expect, and when we do and when we don't forgive others. I may as well tell you, though, that when you forgive me or I give you my forgiveness, that won't fix everything. If I push you down, you fall and break your arm, and I say, oops, I'm sorry. You say, I forgive you, but your arm is still going to be broken. So you won't forget the fact that even though you forgave me, your arm is still broken. So forgiveness won't fix that broken arm. When we forgive others, we are doing our duty as Christians. That does not mean we won't still hurt. And certainly the one who caused the hurt should be willing to correct his or her ways. I really didn't mean to hurt you. Let me help you up from the ground there that I just pushed you down on. Let me help you get back up on your feet. And let me even pray with you if I might. We hope that a person would do that. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, there's a parable of the unforgiven servant. Go over with me to Matthew chapter 18, if you will. In Matthew chapter 18, around about verse number 18 or 19. Well, actually, let's start around verse number 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commended him to be sold and his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord said of that servant, that Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. And 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Now this is, I want you to see something here. There are two cases going on here. There's one where the servant who owed the king money, and a few scriptures above that, where he owed the king money, and the king had compassion on him and forgave him his debt. But then when he went to a servant that owed him, he didn't want to forgive him. He did not want to forgive him. He did not want to forgive the servant that owed him of his debt. But there's a word that sums up the whole thing, and that word is compassion. Because of compassion, the king forgave the man's debt. But then when you watch the rest of the church, when you watch how he acted, in about verse number 27 there, which I just read for you, but also look at verse number 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. He didn't want to forgive the man his debt, but the king had compassion on him. See, when you don't forgive somebody, you create a whole new world of things opening up. When you don't forgive me, you may cause me to go out and sin even more. When you don't forgive me, you hold a grudge against me. And if I don't forgive you, I hold a grudge against you. Forgiveness will not fix everything. Forgiveness will not fix everything that's going on in your life, but it will fix the Lord's word. It will fix you with the Lord's word, but it will not unfix that what has been done to you. It won't fix your memory. You'll still remember what has been done to you, but you can ask the Lord that it might not come up again against me or against whoever the person is or that person that hurt you. Forgiveness may not allow you to trust or have confidence in that person anymore, but in the end, we must come to love that person. Oh, that's a hard task. That's a hard task. You know, we speak of love quite often. We talk about loving one another. But, you know, it's easy to say to someone, I really love you. But do you really mean it when you say it? It's easy to say to someone, I love you enough, but I won't forgive you. I mean, that's what some of us are saying in essence, because we don't really mean it when I say I forgive. See, in order for me to say I forgive you, that comes from my lips. But forgiveness must come from my heart. Forgiveness is the idea that I really mean it this time. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to just wipe it clean. Now, does that mean I won't ever think about it again? No, it does not. But it simply means I will accept the fact that I have to do what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and verse number 15. I've got to forgive you. And church folk are real good at this. I'm not talking about anybody in the church house this morning now, so don't greet me at the back door and say, you were talking to me. No, I'm not. I'm not talking to you unless this shoe fits your feet, you must wear it. Unless you have some problems in your life that you need to forgive somebody for. Other than that, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the entire congregation, including the preacher, because the preacher has issues too. I know a little bit about forgiveness. I know that if I don't forgive, the Lord is not going to forgive me. I know that if I don't forgive you, I'm going to have some problems down the line somewhere. I know that the Bible teaches me on forgiveness. Now, and I also know that not forgiving has caused many of marriages to wind up in the divorce court. Oh, the divorce courts are full of things going on. Not forgiving has caused many young folks to go to an early grave. Not forgiving has caused churches to split. Not forgiving has caused countries to go to war. Not forgiving has caused families to become distant and separated. The only ones who are pleased about non-forgiveness is Satan and lawyers. Because they make money when you don't forgive somebody, you sue them. And they go to court with you. Forgiveness is what we must have in order to clear our hearts. In order to forgive, we must clear our hearts and have forgiveness in our hearts. If it's not from the heart, God will not forgive us. Look at Matthew chapter 18 once again and verse number 22. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 22, the Bible says, and while they abode in Galilee, 17, I want 22. Therefore it is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which took into account his servants. And I just read that part of you too, but I also want you to go to verse number 35 of Matthew chapter 18. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother's trespass. See, you can't just tell me with your lips. It's got to be from your heart. Forgiveness comes from the heart. And then somebody said, well, Jesus, if I don't forgive him, what's going to happen to me? Well, your Father's not going to forgive you. And then somebody may say, well, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? Well, the Bible teaches us unlimited in forgive seven times seven. But Jesus said, no, that ain't right. That's not right. I want you to forgive 70 times seven. So that means unlimited. Now, chances are I'm not going to come asking you forgiveness 70 times seven. That's 490 times. Isn't that right? I'm probably not going to ask you that many times, but just in case I do, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to forgive me. And until you forgive me, you're not going to be right with God. Because the Bible says that if you don't forgive, God is not going to forgive you. So when your forgiveness comes around and your opportunity to forgive, and you know something, I know this is a personal issue, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It might be too much information, but I had to go to my wife. And I told my wife on her sick, dying bed, I asked her to forgive me for any and everything that I may have done to her. So I know something about forgiveness. I know that I'm supposed to do it, and I know that you're supposed to do it to me. And if you don't do it to me, then you're going to be in trouble with the Lord. So forgiveness, as I bring this message to a close this morning, forgiveness comes when you open up your heart and ask the Lord to forgive you. And ask the person to forgive you that you've had an offense against, or that they've had an offense against you. But then, when you forgive me, I don't want you to get behind my back. I don't want you to get behind my back and talk about, you're going to talk about me anyway, but I don't want you to bring that thing up. That thing that caused us to have a problem in the first place. I don't want that to come up. Because you've told me you forgive me, but apparently you haven't. See, you're going to remember it. That's true enough. I don't have a problem with you remembering it. But let it go. Let it stay in the past. I know people that have been mad with people for 25 years or more. I didn't like it back then, and I certainly don't like it now. Well, why? Because he did something to me when we were in third grade. Now, what sense does it make for you to keep something holding on in your life from third grade and you're now 90 years old? We've got to learn to forgive. And church members, we've got to learn to forgive one another too. We've got to learn to forgive, because you know something? When I can't go to a church member and talk about forgiving because they haven't forgiven somebody, then I got a problem, isn't that right? Because I may need to rely on you to forgive, to help me make my way through the forgiveness process. But yes, we need to learn to be forgiven. And how can I learn to be forgiven when I don't know how? Well, open your Bible. Find out what the Lord teaches on forgiveness. Go specifically to Matthew chapter 6, what we just used this morning. There are many other scriptures in there, and I like it. I like it because I don't have enough time to give you all of them. But there are many scriptures on forgiveness and forgiving in the Bible. If I'm not mistaken, there's probably over 100 on forgiveness, or on forgiving and forgiveness. But the one thing that I do know, it's what Matthew chapter 6 says. If you don't, brother Miles, if you don't forgive your brother, your heavenly Father is not going to forgive you. And that's all that matters in the big picture, is my heavenly Father forgiving me. And I know it's time for me to close out. And that's what I'm doing. I know y'all want to see the Super Bowl this evening. I know some of you are going to have chicken wings all over the place, but you need to know about forgiveness first. Forgiveness will carry us a long way in this life. It'll make life just a little brighter for you, and it puts you on a good move, a good step with God, get you in tune with God. Now, I'm not saying that's all you need to do, by no means. Because if once you have forgiven me, then you don't love me anymore because you had to forgive me, that doesn't make sense either. If you're not going to love me, the Bible tells us to love even our enemies. That person that you really don't like. That person that really caused you heartache and pain. The one that stands at the end of your block selling drugs. You got to forgive him too. You got to love him too. That one that may be crawling through somebody's window right about now. You've got to forgive him. You've got to love him.
And then with the church folk, you've got to forgive each and every one of us too. You may not like the color of the suit that I come in with, but you've got to forgive me if I've got to forgive you if I offended you with my color of my suit. You know, I got petty like that because that's what some church folk be. They get petty with their dislikes and their forgiveness. But you've got to learn to forgive, in other words. That's the bottom line. And you've got to learn to love. And Jesus loved us because he went to his cross for us to forgive us our sin. And then he's still waiting for us, for many of us, still waiting for many of us to forgive somebody about something that's even irrelevant now. But yet, we hold on to those old things. So, preacher, I need to become one with Jesus. What do I do? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repent, confessing, being baptized, you become a member of the Lord's body, his church. But years ago, preacher, I got baptized and I became a member of the Lord's body, but I went astray and I've been gone from the church for a number of years. What do I need to do? Well, you need to go to the Lord, pray to the Lord, ask him to forgive you and help you be strong and get your faith back. Come before the church, ask them to pray for you that you might gather stronger faith. If we can all do this right now, if we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 655. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to its spring. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows while the waters roll. Let the weary soul hear the call that forth